Like I said before, I think if they bottled some of that, they could sell it, don't you? Thank you so much, ladies. As I was walking in the back door a while ago, I ran into my friend, Benny Todd. And he looked at this thing and he went, "Oh, no." And I said, "Brother Benny, it's okay. I'm not preaching, I'm singing." And he went, "Oh, no." Y'all are probably wondering, where is Brother Joe? Well, he has taken Kyle back to college, and they are there this weekend. He's able to check into his dorm, so that's what they're doing. And there's a lot of our kids are flocking out of here, going to off to college again, and just be in prayer for them. There are so many things out there that they desperately need your prayer. So pray for all of our college students as they are heading back. And I know you're probably thinking, Kyle, second year. Wow. I remember when he came. He was like that. And that was some 12 years ago. And it was 12, it's his Brother Joe's anniversary next weekend of his coming here. 12 years. Isn't that amazing? To God be the glory in all of that. Christian, do you believe in the power of prayer? As Christians of all people, we should believe in the power of prayer. Don't be like the small town that a story is told where historically this place was dry. They didn't sell alcohol in their little town until a man of the town decided to open a tavern. And he opened the tavern and began to sell liquor. Well, the church in the area decided, okay, we need an all-night prayer meeting. So they got together and had an all-night prayer meeting against the tavern. And as they prayed and they prayed and they prayed all night. Well, sure enough, about a week later, lightning hit the tavern, burned it to the ground. Power of prayer. The tavern owner got a lawyer and sued the church. The church hired a lawyer and said, "We didn't have anything to do with it." The judge looked at the situation, its first input, and he said, "You know, I don't know how this is going to come out. But I will say this, the tavern owner believes in the power of prayer and the Christians don't." The power of prayer. Prayer is to ask earnestly, to entreat, to petition, to make a request or confession, especially to God, to commune with God. Commune means to communicate. To communicate means a two-way dialogue, to talk back and forth. It is to talk, it's to listen, it's to listen, it's to talk. It's a dialogue. Someone put it this way in a poem. It says, "Prayer is not artful monologue of voice uplifted from the sod. It is love's tender dialogue between the soul and God." Dialogue, to talk, to conversate, to listen, and to hear someone else speak. Someone said that if you would have God hear you when you pray, you must hear Him when He speaks. So we must hear when God speaks. So let's look at a few points about prayer this morning. Now, these points that I'm going to make, you know the things that I'm fixing to say, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to be reminded. So let today be one of those remindful moments for you as we talk about this thing called prayer. And I want to read Psalm 65, verses 1 and 2 again. It says this, "Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come." Father, as we come to you today, Lord, to speak about your word and to talk about this thing called prayer, I pray, O Lord, that you open our hearts and our ears that we may hear the word from you. And Father, you know me. Father, you know me as the sinner that I am. Father, I pray and beg for your forgiveness. Father, I pray, Lord, that if something that I would say that is not from you, then, Father, I pray that you hush my mouth, that it not come out. And, Father, I pray, Lord, that if my words are not exactly right, then, Father, I pray that you fix them, Lord, before they hit ears. That's my prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Things about prayer. First thing that I want you to notice about prayer is that prayer is a precious privilege. It is a privilege to go before the throne of God on your behalf, on anyone's behalf. Prayer is a precious privilege. My goodness, stop and think for a minute. Who are we? Who are we to approach the throne of God? Who are we that makes us have the ability to go before the Lord in prayer? How can we, who are so imperfect, approach a nothing but perfect God? Who are we to go before the Lord? My friend, that is called God's grace. It's only by His grace and it's only by His righteousness that we are able to approach Him in prayer. It's by Him and Him alone that we are able to lift up our voices to heaven and expect Him to hear. And when we do go before the Lord in prayer, isn't it good to know that when He sees us coming to Him, He doesn't see the wretched sinner that we really are. All He sees is a child covered in the blood of His Son Jesus, coming before a righteous God and saying, "Daddy, can we talk? We need to talk." That's what He sees, child of God. He sees you as His child coming to Him and just wanting to talk. That's what He sees when we approach Him in prayer. And isn't it good that we can go to someone to unburden what has us burdened down? That we can go to Him in prayer. Isn't it good to have a friend that you can go to and you can say, "Listen, man, I just need to talk." And then just unburden. And it really, you know, someone said that a burden shared is cut in half, but a joy shared is doubled when you have a friend. Well, that's what we do when we go before someone and we say, "Listen, can we talk?" Psychiatrists have even said that one of the greatest things that we can do is just listen. Just to hear people speak, just to hear them talk. But isn't it so much better when we go to someone such as God? When we go to God in prayer, knowing that He has the power to help, He has the power to bless. He is the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and has all sympathy for us. Philippians 4:6, Paul said it this way: "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, I can't help but mention our Sunday school lesson this morning when Solomon went before God and just said, "You know, here I am. Here I am. I have all these things before me. I have all these things. My goodness, I'm trying to follow in my father's footsteps, who is a man after your own heart." He says, I'm trying to keep international peace. He says, "I am the king of this great land, trying to follow my dad." He said, I have so many things in my life, and I'm so young. He says, "Oh God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Grant me that, O Lord." And that was his prayer. He says, "By prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, make your request made known." Another thing about a precious privilege of prayer is that we can intercede on others' behalf. That we can make intercessory for those that are in need. And we can go before them in prayer, for them in prayer. And when someone asks you to pray for them, do you realize what they are saying? That is no light matter. When someone says, "Please pray for me," they are actually saying, "Would you go to the throne of God for me? Would you do that? Would you do that for me? Would you approach God's throne for me? Would you pray for me?" And don't be like most of the time, we forget. We forget sometimes when someone says, "Pray for me." And don't be like that person that I know that when they say, "Pray for me," and as they walk away and as they get further away, so does the thought of that prayer go away. And we forget to pray until we see them the next time. And as they're walking up to see us and we see them, say, "Oh, no, I forgot. Oh, Lord, bless them, bless them." And as you get there, you say, "I've been praying for you." Don't be like that. Don't forget when someone asks you to pray for them, that you pray, that you intercede on their behalf. We have a group here that we call the Intercessory Prayer Warriors. My goodness gracious. You know, on the back of those little bulletin things that you fill out every week, and down at the bottom that has prayer requests that you fill out, I want you to know there's a group of people that meet every Monday morning in the parlor that takes every one of those and they read every one. And then they stop and they pray for that very one. That's what they do. That's intercessory prayer. I can't tell you how many times little Avery Ann was lifted up. I can't tell how many times little Ava Gray was lifted up in prayer. Intercessory prayer. There are people in this room, you know, that you sign those things and you say, oh, please pray for my family. Oh, please pray for my son. Please pray for my daughter. Please pray for their health. Please pray for their guidance. You are lifted up every week. It's just not something that's torn off and turned in and forgot about. Intercessory prayer warriors, go to the throne of God on your behalf. Several years ago, one of our deacon chairmen had was thinking about what we could do for our widows in the church. That's one of the main duties of deacons, is to tend to the widows of the church. And he was thinking, what can we do for them? And how can we make them feel like they're useful to us? And so we had a banquet for the widows of the church, and he and one of the ladies of the church went out in the swamps and they found cypress knees. And they took those cypress knees and peeled them, and whatever you do, however you do that, I don't know if there's some cooking involved, I don't know. They boil them, I think, I don't know. And they peeled all of those, and then they fixed them, sanded them, made them real pretty. And they gave each one of those widows one of those cypress knees, those roots. And you're probably thinking, what's that for? And what the whole idea was is that it was a cypress knee. The Bended Knee Prayer Ministry was birthed that night. One of our dear ladies, Margaret Harden, meets once a month and builds a whole calendar. And on every day of the month, there is a prayer for every one of the widows to be lifted up, that they can take that prayer. And every widow in our church, which numbers over 90 now, that they lift that prayer need up that day. The Bended Knee. If you are part of that, dear ladies, let me let you know, you are a vital part of this church. There is power in your prayer, and we need it. We need it. Thank you for what you do. And in this prayer being a precious privilege, there are times that prayer doesn't come easy. That there are times that when we go before the Lord, that the words just won't come. That we can't express what it is that we need to pray. It could be because the pain is too great. It could be that the direction is too clear. And it could be that our minds are so cluttered and so scattered that we can't put the words in a good form, and we can't even pray. We have trouble praying sometimes, even if it is a precious privilege. Ever have those times? Ever have those moments when prayer, you just couldn't formulate it? Listen what Paul said. Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that we cannot utter. When those times come that the words don't make it, my friends, still go before the Lord. Because when we go before the Lord in those times that we can't utter the words from our own thoughts and from our own prayer life, the Holy Spirit Himself will pray for you. He will pray for you because He already knows the need. He already knows what it is that's in your heart. We don't go to Him to express the need. Listen, it's not about your words. It's about your faith in the one that those words are to be going to. We sometimes say, well, I can't pray. I don't know what to say. I don't have the beautiful words. It just doesn't flow like so-and-so and all that. It's not about you. It's not about your words. It's about your faith. So in those moments that you can't, just get it out. Still go before the Lord. Prayer is a precious privilege. Prayer is also universal. Anyone can go to the Lord in prayer. And our scripture today, verse 2, tells us that all flesh will come to you. All flesh. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what your problems are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what language you speak. He speaks them all. He knows what it is that's on your heart. He can translate. And I heard a song one time saying that I couldn't pray. All I could do was cry. And then the song says, but tears are a language that God understands. Isn't it good that God reads your tears? He reads. Prayer is universal. My friend, prayer isn't about being black. Prayer isn't about being white. Prayer isn't about being yellow. In fact, in heaven, I know Scripture says that we will be known as we were known, but I really believe we're all going to be the same color in heaven. It's red. And it's not about Bridge City. I know what's in your mind. There's only one color. It's going to be red. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us all, that gives us the capability of being there. That's the color that our Lord's going to see when we go there. And when we pray, He doesn't see color. He just sees a child's heart that's coming before a Father in need. And of His fullness, we have received grace for grace. Let me tell you, there's a correlation between God's supply and man's need. It doesn't matter what your need is. God's grace is sufficient for that. If your need is small, His grace fits it. If your need is great, His grace fits it. That's what it meant. Grace for grace. Whatever your need is, He will meet your need. The Lord will meet our need, and His grace is sufficient. But friend, know this. Sometimes that grace comes packaged in a way we weren't praying for. And I'm going to mention more about answered prayer in just a moment. But understand this. Is that the way we pray sometimes is not the way that we receive the answer. God's grace, though, is sufficient. God's grace will meet our needs. Prayer is a precious privilege, and prayer is universal. And here's a glorious fact. God hears our prayer. When we go to the Lord, He hears our prayer. Verse 5 says in our text that we read today, by awesome deeds and righteousness, You will answer us. God will answer our prayers. And He will meet our needs based on nothing that we have done, but it's based on His righteousness. He hears our prayers not because we have the right to approach His throne. He hears our prayers because He is a righteous God. He hears our prayers because He is a God of grace. That's why He hears our prayers, is because of who He is. And praise be to God, Christian, that He doesn't meet our needs based on who we are. If He met my needs and if He extended grace to me based on my merit, I would probably receive about a cup of grace. Well, if He met it on my own merit, it'd probably be a thimble. Well, actually, He would give me exactly what I deserve. Nothing. Based on my own merit. But aren't you glad, Christian, that it's not on your merit that you can approach the throne of God? That it's based on His righteousness. It's based on His goodness. And it's His goodness alone. Our prayers are heard by His awesome deeds of righteousness. And I am eternally grateful for that. God loves us so much that He wants to meet our needs, and He can, and He wants to. Paul said it this way. He says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine, and it's according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3:20. Now, that power that he's talking about, that power is God's power. It's not our power. That exceedingly abundantly that he wants to do for us above anything that we think, it's by his power that it happens. It's his power that works through us. God loves us and he wants to take care of us. He hears our prayers even before we ask. He knows. He knows. I think sometimes when we go to the Lord in prayer, we sometimes say, "Well, Lord, it's me again. I know you don't know this, but let me tell you. Listen, my friend, God already knows." We don't go before the Lord and say, "Lord, wake up. Lord, I know you're slumbering here, so wake up." We don't go to him with our needs to wake him up to express our needs. He's already awake. He already knows the need. He knows your situation in life long before you ever got in it. He knows that. So we don't go to the Lord to express a need that he doesn't know about. We go to the Lord expressing the fact that we know that he's going to meet the need. That it's him that's going to hear the prayer. That it's him that we place our faith in. Not in words, not in a prayer, but our faith is in Jesus. Not in some words that we're going to express. It's him. And who better to go to than a God who has infinite intelligence, infinite kindness, infinite resources, and infinite love. He hears our prayers. And one of the greatest resources that God uses is his people. Is his people. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Who better to go to than a believer? Who better to go to than one that when you say, "Pray for me," that they will do that because they understand that? Who better to go to than people of a like faith and a like mind? Confess to one another. He says, go to them. There is no other people like Christians to discuss hurts and pains. But let me give you a note of warning or a note of concern. Most people who come to church and need your prayers, that's just what they need. Your prayers. That's what they need. Your prayers. They don't need you to solve their problems. The Lord will do that. They don't need you to preach a sermon. The preacher's just about to do that. All they need to know is that you love them. All they need sometimes is just a hug. And all they need to know is that I'll pray for you. If they want more than that, they'll come to you. They'll call you. And they'll say, "Listen, I need to unburden this. I need you to share some scripture with me. I need you to help me. Please, please do that." But until they do that, Christian, just pledge your prayers. Pledge that to them. Pledge your love. Pledge your concern. Pray, pray, pray for one another. You know, it's good to know that when we come to church, we really ought to be able to leave from church uplifted. We ought to be able to leave from church that, like, I've just been with the Lord. I've just worshiped him. I've just been with other believers who have prayed with me. And we should leave with that feeling. My goodness, we go out into a world and we're with people every day that they just want to hammer us every day. We don't need that here, do we? We need to know God's grace and love. I know that we need to know his truth. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is people need to know that you care and that you pledge your prayers for them. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Listen to some faithful people and their examples. Moses. How many times did he go before the Lord in prayer on behalf of the Israelites? My goodness, just read Exodus and Deuteronomy. Elijah's prayer when he was running and hiding in the desert. We can read that in 1 Kings 19. David's daily prayer life with God, we can see in 1 and 2 Samuel. Jonah's prayer of salvation in the belly of a whale in Jonah chapter 2. The apostles' prayers all throughout when we read about Simon Peter and Paul throughout their ministry. And listen, Jesus' prayers. Jesus' prayer of adoration, Matthew 11, 25. His prayer of intercession, John 17. His prayer of thanksgiving, John 11, 41, 42. His prayer of obedience in the garden, Luke 22, 42. The prayer of the faithful. God does hear the prayer of the faithful, and He responds to those prayers. But we have to be reminded that the prayers are answered. Yes. No, not now. And those prayers may be answered in a way that we didn't exactly pray for. But prayers are answered, faithful. You faithful ones of the Lord, prayers are answered. And sometimes He answers in a way that through His ultimate wisdom and knowledge, He answers in a way that is always best for us. We may not see that at times. We may not see that our prayers are being answered the way that we pray. But listen, through His sovereignty, He knows, and He will answer that prayer. Brother, I don't know why that God saved the labor in. I don't know. Only in His infinite wisdom and knowledge does He know. Does He know? When there's a lot of people out here who have lost loved ones just in a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I can't answer that for the Lord. Only He can. But that's His sovereignty. He's God. And that's all there is to know. He's God. He is God. And He will answer for what is best for us. Bill Hybel expressed it this way. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. That's praying in the way that we should be praying. So how do we know how to make the right request? We have to make sure that our will is surrendered to the will of God. And when we surrender all the parts of us, all of the small compartments of our life that we say, God, I'll take care of this part. You can have all the rest. When we finally just surrender all that we are to Him, all of a sudden our prayer life becomes right on. We then begin to know what to pray, because it's Him in us being expressed through our prayers. That's how you know how to pray. You surrender your will to His will. And through this whole message, you were wondering, he's going to bring up baseball. I wonder when. Well, Bobby Richardson, the famed second baseman for the New York Yankees in the 50s and the 60s, is now a spokesperson and has been for, since the late 60s, has been a spokesperson for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he opened up one of their largest conventions. They asked Bobby Richardson to go and to open up in prayer. Thousands of people. And Bobby Richardson walked up to the microphone and with the most simple yet most profound prayer I have ever heard. He said, "Dear God, Your will. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing else. Amen." What a profound prayer. Nothing but the will of the Father. Prayer is a precious privilege. Prayer is universal, and God hears our prayers. Christian, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do we really? Do we really believe in the power of prayer? Do we really believe that when we take it to the Lord in prayer, we can do as we have sung here before, take it to the Lord in prayer, leave it there? Do we really believe that? Or do we really go to the Lord and we earnestly pray, oh God, I'm burdened. Oh God, remove it. Oh God, take the burden. And as soon as we stand from our knees, we pick it up and we throw it over our shoulder and we carry it with us the next mile. Oh Christian, do we really believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe in a God who answers prayer? Do you believe in a God who will answer a prayer in the way that He sees best for you? Or do we believe in prayer when they're answered the way that we want them to be answered? Oh, Christian, do we believe in the power of prayer? God loves to hear His children come to Him in prayer. God loves to meet those needs in a way that's best. God wants to grow us up in what is best for us. But do you know the prayer that God so longs to hear? Do you know the prayer that He just waits to hear you pray? It's a prayer that says, oh God, I'm lost. I know that if I died today, I'd go to hell. Oh God, I'm lost and I need a Savior. Oh God, would You be that Savior for me today? God, come into my heart. I receive Your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Oh, Lord, save me today. That's the prayer that He longs to hear. Oh, listen, have you prayed that prayer? Do you know that you're lost today? And if you've never prayed to the Father saying, Lord, I need You. I receive You today. Have you prayed that prayer? Listen, He'll answer it. He'll answer it just like that. All you need to do is pray it. And it's nothing magical about your words. Please understand that. It's nothing magical about the prayer. Because all the power is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. And listen, when you do that, you will receive His power. You will receive His power to overcome the burdens of this life. You will receive the power to overcome the trials that come to your life every day. If you receive Him, you'll receive the power that defeats death, hell, and the grave. And if you receive that, you will receive the power of eternity. Oh, have you prayed that prayer? My friend, there is power. There is power. There is power in prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, confessing, Lord, that most of us really, Lord, we really fall short when it comes to pray. Lord, I confess, Lord, that I'm one of those who takes my burden there and take it home. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as we study our hearts at this moment, during Your invitation, during this time, Father, that we truly search our hearts about this thing called prayer. And Father, help us to realize that it truly is a privilege for us to come to You in prayer, Lord. It's only by Your graciousness, Lord, that we are able to approach. And so, Father, I pray that we come to grips with that and to realize, Lord, that it is a precious privilege. But, Father, what a privilege it is. And, Lord, help us to search our hearts today to realize that we truly can come, Lord, to the throne of grace for You today. Help us, Lord. Help us search our hearts today. Lord, there's people here today that need to pray that prayer of salvation. And Father, I pray that today is the day that they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, and receive the fullness of what that means, Lord. The fullness of knowing what it means to have the power of God to reside in their heart. I pray that this day. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.